Ezra Hashem, we'll discuss a little bit about Shabbos Kodesh. We are now in the midst of receiving the Shabbos. We know that Erev Shabbos, all of Erev Shabbos, especially in the afternoon of Erev Shabbos, the Kedusha of Shabbos, the holiness of Shabbos, and the beauty of Shabbos starts to penetrate the world and every one of us, Be'ezer Hashem. So, Dover Be'itei Matoiv, to discuss a little about Shabbos Kodesh, how to appreciate Shabbos, and most important, how to utilize Shabbos, and to absorb from Shabbos as much as we can. Now, the most important thing, if we want to utilize something, is to understand what it's all about. The reason why many of us don't know how to use the Shabbos, how to appreciate the Shabbos, and how to really absorb greatness and beauty from Shabbos, is because we don't understand the Shabbos. And we don't really know what is Shabbos wants to give us, and what can we absorb from Shabbos, and what is Shabbos all about. I want to quote, before I go into the discussion, I want to just quote, how should I say it? Maybe it was even someone who attacked me, a very fine, wonderful young man, Baal Tshuva. First few years of his life, he was completely a secular Jew. He became a Baal Tshuva, and today he's a wonderful younger man, runs in yeshiva, has a wonderful family. And he once told me as follows. He says, you should know that the religious Jewry, Yadut HaCharedit, the Jewry of Torah, owes me something. It's a debt that they owe me. And he says to me, maybe you could pay it, but someone has to pay back this debt. He says, when I was non-religious, and people were, you know, many fine people tried to makarev, and they were trying to tell me and to convince me to become religious, to become a Yiddish mensch, to become erlach, and they told me how beautiful it is to learn Torah, how beautiful it is to keep the mitzvahs. And one of the things they told me was how beautiful a Shabbos. They told me about the Shabbos table, about the feeling of Shabbos, the light of Shabbos, the beauty of Shabbos. And they painted such a beautiful picture of Shabbos Kodesh. And Baruch Hashem became religious, because Baruch Hashem, I became Ben Torah. And I'm happy, and I'm thrilled. But the beauty of Shabbos I didn't see. This debt that they owe me, they promised me, the beauty and the light and the shine and the enjoyment and the love of Shabbos. I, Baruch Hashem, have a wonderful family, and I have a Shabbos table. But the way it was described, the beauty of Shabbos, this I don't find. And he asked me very simple language, how do we find the beauty of Shabbos? Now, I would like to try to discuss it in practical ways. But first, as I was saying, it's extremely important to understand what is Shabbos and why did Hashem Yisbarach give us Shabbos. Now, let me start from the beginning. I don't mean the beginning of Shabbos, but the beginning of Yiddishkeit. What I'm going to try to introduce this afternoon, Be'ezer Hashem, is that as much as Shabbos Kodesh was the crown of the Jewish people and the love of the Jewish people 4,000 years since we came to Har Sinai, I think today in our generations it was never so important to make an emphasis on Shabbos and try to understand Shabbos as today. Now let me try a little to analyze how I see what is the major problem of today, our Yiddishkeit, which we all today, Baruch Hashem, practice so beautifully. Now, we know that there's a concept of Yiridus HaDoiris. We know there's a concept the generations go down and down. Every one of us knows and believes that we are not, we don't have the greatness and the depth and the insight of our forefathers. Even Chazal said, Omar Shmuel, Anoke Chamra Bar Chala Lavui. I am like vinegar, the son of wine, to my father. My father was much, much greater, much sweeter than I am. I'm like vinegar in comparison to wine. Now, let us try to analyze for a moment. What point, really, did generations change? Today's generation in comparison to 100, 200, 300 years ago. Now, the truth is that we don't know what used to be. I mean, I can't talk about what was because I wasn't there. Baruch Hashem, we learn Torah. Baruch Hashem, we keep mitzvahs. Our tefillin today at Baruch Hashem, beautiful. We have all the hidurim of tefillin. Our tzitzis, our matzah, our shofar. And Baruch Hashem, our daughters learn Hilchos Shabbos, learn Hilchos Brachos. What really is the crux and the point that we are missing, especially today in our generations? And I would like to tell you what I think. And I'd like to, you know, not try to impose upon you with my ideas, but share. Let's try to share together. If I'm talking sense, or if I'm just walking up the hill. Let me tell you in the form of a joke. There was a Rosh Yeshiva in Chevron, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rabbi Avram Farbstein. He was a great Rosh Yeshiva, and he was an Israeli, but he was a European originally. But he knew perfect English. When he gave a lecture, it wasn't like myself. He knew perfect English, he translated every word. I myself have this weakness that I don't know how to translate every word. And by the way, if anybody doesn't, you know, misses a word, please don't be shy. Pick up your hand and I'll try to translate. And once he was saying, he gave a lecture in some place in the United States, and after the lecture, a man comes over to him and says, Rabbi, I appreciate your lecture. It was beautiful. I understood every word. It was just one word which you forgot to translate, which I didn't understand. Just one word. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I understood everything, but this word you didn't translate. So I don't know what you meant. Now, this is a beautiful picture. A man heard a lecture, and it was just missing one word, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, I'd like to introduce, and let us think together for a moment. Today, our Yiddishkeit, our Judaism, has every beauty and every greatness and every depth. There's a gewaltige progress in Diktuk the mitzvahs. Our yeshivas are becoming better. Our Beis Yankas for sure are better. We're just missing just one thing. We cultivated a Judaism and we left Hashem out. A Jew without a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, what I mean is as follows. Of course, all we talk about all day is Hashem. The question is, let us be very, very practical. How real is Hashem in our lives? How real is Hashem? We have families, our husbands, our wives, our parents, our children are real. My own small self who are talking to you is real. You people listening to me is real. Now, we talk about Hashem. How real is Hashem? Now, let me try to demonstrate what I'm saying. In our minds, if I would tell you people, everyone close their eyes and imagine for a moment this microphone that I'm holding in my hands. I'm holding in my hands a microphone. And if I would tell you a story that this microphone was invented by a little Mongolian boy in the Negev of Hong Kong. You people, you know, you just look at me like an imbecile. You know, it's such a clarity. And you can imagine, you could just, with a clarity, you could imagine that this genius, that there was a human being with genius capacities that invented the computer, the microphone. You could see when you see these light bulbs on top, you know, you could see the janitor, when you could see his dungarees. It's real. How real is the creator of Hashem, of the world, Hashem is Baruch, in our lives? We talk about him, Emet Hashem and Baruch Hashem. And we do his mitzvahs. But how real is Hashem? And what capacity is our relationship with Hashem? Now, I just want to, this is not going to be my issue. But, completely not my issue. But I think you all know that we are in the 3 weeks. It's after Shavuot Sibat Thomas. Tisha B'Av is coming. Did you ever notice that we participate really in every Yom Tov of the Jewish calendar? Is anyone here that doesn't remember that Leil Seder? We ate matzahs. You remember how we ate those matzahs? With venom. We sat back and we just stuffed it in. Remember the four cases? Anybody remember? Dafi Koyman, we thought we were going to plat, but we got it in. And the halal. You remember the shavuos? This side of the mechitza, those blintzes, that side of the mechitza, that night tikkun. You remember the Rosh Hashanah? Did anybody oversleep Kiyas Shofar? Please raise your hand. Did anybody not come to shul on Yom Kippur? Is anybody here didn't take a lulav? We, Baruch Hashem, we have 100% of participation in every Yom Tov besides one, Tisha B'Av. I think, Hashem should forgive me, from all of Borough Park and Williamsburg, and Yerushalayim and Bnei Brak together, if we could gather 3 ounces of tears, it's a lot and it's beautiful. I'm not such an old man, I still remember in Yerushalayim, people used to mamish weep on Tisha B'Av. Did you people see anybody weep on Tisha B'Av? Cry on Tisha B'Av? You know why? Because when you go to a wedding, everyone is dancing. You see someone, he gives the chassan and he's dancing and he says, that must be the chassan's best friend. And he says, you know the chassan, of course he said, he gave me a beautiful invitation. You know, this, you made a mistake. Your chassan is tomorrow. You know, it could happen. He's dancing with a chassan. Anyone can dance with a chassan. If you see someone with his nose down, it's probably the father of the kallah has to pay for the musician. If you go to a funeral and you see someone who's really crying, you know that he's a close relative. Because Tisha B'Av expresses how really close we are to Hashem. How real is Hashem and Hashem's problem? Now, I think every one of us made through situations of problems, of stress, and we know what it means to cry. We know what it means to be bothered on our own problems, on our close ones' problems. And all those boys and girls with ponytails in the back with earrings, that's Hashem's children. And Hashem is crying. We don't care because it's not real to us. And Bichlal, when we daven, we talk to Hashem. When we come in the morning and our spouse gives us a glass of coffee with her wife or her husband, we know what it means to say thank you because it's real. And we to say thank you to Hashem. To say thank you to Hashem. Our whole Yiddishkeit is beautiful, but we're missing the reality of a real Hashem in our life. And never was the problem as great as our generation. Because the relationship of Hashem, it says, "V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafsha b'chol ma'idecha." Because relationship needs privacy. Relationship has to have, there has to be, we have to share something together. Never was there a situation in Jewish life that we should have so much in our minds and so much in our hearts as our generation. Now I'm going to say a few sentences which you think you're going to think I'm bananas. But think for a second if I'm crazy or not. Our heart is full of love. We love our refrigerator. We love our refrigerator. I never knew how much I love my refrigerator until it got broken. Now you people have air conditioning in your home. I live in the Negev. I don't happen to have an air conditioner. And it's 100 degrees outside, and all of a sudden, the refrigerator goes bananas. All of a sudden, I saw that I'm in love with my refrigerator. You could be in love with your car, you could be in love with your clothing, you could be in love with magazines, you could be in love with the books. We're in love with 1,000,000,000 different things in our life. We never don't realize it. Because we don't realize we love our children, but we love them. Today, our life is so taken up with so many things. We're so busy. There are so many things which are utmost important for us. I don't have to describe that, I think you know. The way we dress, the way we look. I wasn't way back, but you know, people today give away to lose 3 ounces of weight. They'll do anything, you know. They'll give away all enjoyment of life just to look slim. That's not a joke. It's a situation, our minds, our hearts are someplace else. So how can we live Hashem? And we don't live Hashem. And that is our problem. And my dear friends, we are in a situation, we're progressing and progressing, at the same time falling and coming further and further away, and who knows where it's going to take us. And that's why we have so many problems. Practically speaking, it's the reason for our problems, and spiritually speaking, it's the reason for our problems. We simply cultivated a Yiddishkeit, and we left Hashem out of it. Now, what do we do to bring Hashem back into our lives? And this is what I'm going to try to explain to you, that this is the concept of Shabbos. Now please, my dear friends, try to understand what I'm trying to explain. If we want to revive and to return the relationship and the feeling to bring a real Hashem into our lives, there are two ways that it can be done. Now let me explain this. If you have two people that we have a reason, we want to get a relationship through them. Let me bring an example. You have a man who has a long lost child. Let's bring a mashal today, you know, 50 years ago this is something that which we saw every day. Imagine you have this man, has a long lost child. And you have a daddy, and you have a little yankele, and they're sitting together in the same room. There's no excitement. You know why? This is the daddy, this is the child. They don't even know, they don't, whatever the reason might be, they don't know each other. Now, the relationship is between two people. Imagine the father knows that this is my child, and the son doesn't know. It's a situation which we have every day. The son can know it's my father, but he doesn't know what the father's all about. Sometimes it's the opposite. The son knows it's my father, and the father forgets he's busy. Now there's two ways. It's very, very simple. I'm elaborating in the example, which is unnecessary. It can come from the father, it can come from the child. The child could say, Daddy, he doesn't even listen to him. Daddy, doesn't even listen to him. He throws himself on the floor and starts crying. Usually it helps, but not always. Starts stamping his feet. Not always. And he says, "Ooh, I have a pain in my side." That usually does it. In other words, the child can do to revive the relationship of his father. Sometimes it comes the opposite. The little boy, he doesn't know what it's all about. He's like a pizza, she's not interested. And the father tries to revive the relationship of the little boy. Now this is very simple. Now, when we want to revive our feeling of a real Hashem, and real means real, like this table. Hashem is real. You know what it means, real? I don't know if you're with me. Let me just tell you a joke. I don't know why I love this joke. I love this joke. I don't know why. Maybe you love it too. Uri Zohar, I think you heard the name, who's a radio, television actor, who became Baal Tshuva. Today he's a big Talmud Chochem. And he was a comedian. When he said goodbye to all his non-religious friends, they said, Uri, tagid lana b'dichachon, tell us one last joke. Uri, tell us one last joke. He went to learn to her. Said, I'll tell you a joke. He says, there were two yeshiva boys riding on a motorcycle with a yarmulke on their heads, and they're riding on the motorcycle. And the policeman didn't like these guys with a yarmulke on their head. He says, I'm going to follow them, and I'm going to give them a ticket. And he starts following them. And they came to a stop sign, they stop. A red light, they stop. You know, Mavar Chatzia, you know, to let the people cross, they stop. They didn't go even one half a mile above the speed limit. And he followed them for a half an hour. And after half an hour, he says, stops them. He says, you guys, he said, I'm following you for a half an hour. You didn't do anything wrong. How could that be? So they said, what do you mean? God is with us. He says, I got you. You're going to get a ticket. There's three on a motorcycle. That's beautiful. We have to feel that there's three on a motorcycle. That Hashem was with us. A policeman should give us a ticket. It's real. If I'm real, then the one who created me is even more real. And how do we get this feeling and this relationship back? Now, there's two ways of doing it. One way of doing it, we have to start concentrating. And we have to start finding Hashem and bringing Hashem into our lives. There's another way of doing it. That Hashem and his side should penetrate into us holiness and greatness and depth. And with Siyata Deshmaya, with the help of Hashem, Hashem and his side should look for us. Now let me repeat what I said now. There's two ways we can do it. It can come from our side, it can come from Hashem's side. Now, when it comes from our side, this is really almost all the mitzvahs in the Torah. When it comes from Hashem's side, this is what Shabbos is all about. This is exactly what Shabbos is. Now let me explain to you what is Shabbos. Shabbos, in a simple translation, is the day of Hashem. The name Shabbos means Shovas. Shovas means everything stops. We live in a world that everything in this world is a mechitza to Hashem. We go out to work and we see if you work overtime, if you work hard, if you have a little bit of seichel, you have panosim. And if not, if you're a shlemazel, you don't have panosim. If you go to a doctor, you spend an extra $200, you go to someone good, then he's matliach. If you go to a shlemazel because you wanted to save a couple of bucks, and then you'll have to pay double. We live in a world. And we live in a world and we see that really we govern the world. We see. Now, the truth is that this is a chosha, this is a darkness. The world is Hashem's world. We know it and we believe it, but we don't see it. Shabbos is a day that Hashem says, Shavas, everything should stop. Everything in the world, the whole world, should stop. On Shabbos, we don't, it's not only we don't go to work. It's an expression. You don't go out to work. You don't go into the car. You don't make a phone call. You don't do anything. You live with Hashem. It's a moment of truth. That's what Shabbos is. But really, this greatness, this Kedusha, I think you know the Gemara says that in all holidays, we say a blessing, Baruch Ato Hashem, Mekadesh Yisrael Vahazmanim. Because the Jewish people, through Beis Din, they are the ones that gave the Kedusha of Rosh Chodesh. They said, Mekudesh HaChodesh Mekudesh, which is the Kedusha of the Yom Tov. I don't want to explain this at this moment. But the Gemara says, Yisrael the Mekadesh Hazmanim. And that's why the Kedusha, the holiness of Yom Tov, with all its greatness, really is generated by the Jewish people. By the fact that we keep Rosh Chodesh, by the fact that we eat matzah on Pesach, by the fact that we listen to Tekiyas Shofar, by the fact that we sit in a sukkah, we generate the Kedusha of Yom Tov. And the same is true all mitzvahs. Every holiness in our Torah is man-made. Besides Shabbos. Shabbos, the Gemara says, we don't say Mekadesh Yisrael v'HaShabbos, we say Mekadesh HaShabbos. Because Shabbos was created in Sheshes and Mebreshes, in the seventh day of creation. Shabbos is created by Hashem. Now, Shabbos is a day, let me try to explain this, that Hashem, on His part, penetrates holiness and Kedusha into the world and looks for us and gives us Siyata Deshmaya to find Him. Now, on Shabbos, there's a very interesting phenomenon about Shabbos. Every Moed, every Yom Tov, we bring Musafim, if you remember. And one of the most important karbonis is Vesoyer Lachatos. I don't know if you ever noticed, every Yom Tov is a Yom Hadin. Rosh Hashanah is a famous Yom Hadin. Pesach, the Gemara says, Hashem is done, brings judgment on the Tvua, on how much wheat, which means really that's the essence of our prosperity. And Shavuos on Peiros Ilan, and Sukkos on Mayim. And when we generate this Kedusha, so we have, what's about our Averis? And that's why we have Seir Lachatas, we worry about our Averis, and it's a time that the Jewish people generate greatness. On Shabbos Kodesh, it's very interesting, there's no Seir Lachatas. There's no mention of Chet. The Gemara says that when a Jew comes home from Shul and takes a glass of wine, and he says, Vayechulu Hashemayim v'ha'oret v'chol tzva'om. Two malachim come, and they put their hands on his head, and they say, V'chsor avonecho v'chatoscho techuper. Who created this beauty, this cleanliness? Not we, Hashem. Hashem created it. And the karbonos that we bring on Shabbos is shnei kavosim b'nei shana tmim. We don't bring sheva. We don't bring seven kvosim, which is to bring beauty to the world. As you know, the world was created in 7 days. Shnei kvosim. There's a chosin and a kala. You know what it means, a chosin and a kala? A chosin and a kala means when a bride and a groom come together under the chuppah. Do you ever see? I think we all see. The bride is dressed in white. You know what white emphasizes? Purity, cleanliness. Tzidkis. She's a tzaddikis. By the way, is she such a tzaddikis? Is it true? Is it true? And the chasn is standing there. So beautiful. I don't know in America how it goes, but the Israel, the yeshiva bochum, wear a frak. He's a Rosh Hashiva. See a Rosh Hashiva? And the kala looks like a Rosh Hashiva, and he looks like, looks at his kala. You know, she's all beautiful, all pure. It's a moment that they forget. I don't know how to say it. That's how Hashem looks at us on Shabbos. Hashem comes to our Shabbos table. Hashem sees us with every purity, with every beauty. Mekadesh HaShabbos. There's no mention of Chet on Shabbos. And on Shabbos, we sit by a Shabbos table according to Halacha. We don't talk Dvorim B'Teilim. We don't talk Lashon Hara. That's the Halacha, by the way. And we're all dressed up. I remember it used to bother me. You see a fellow mechanic, all week's time, he's greasy and he's wearing dungarees, and he chaps around a mincha. On Shabbos Kodesh, puts on a shtreimel, weiße Socken, a chassidish rebbe. Used to bother me. My dear friends, is he a phony? He's not a phony. On Shabbos, he's a chassidish rebbe. Who made him such a tzaddik? Hashem. Hashem, on Shabbos, recreates us, brings us above everything. Show us. But Hashem, be practical. You know, all week, you know what I look like all week? You know what I, you know,